if anyone here is in advertising or marketing, kill yourself.
Anarchism is not bombs, disorder, or chaos. It is not robbery or murder. It is not a war of each against all. Anarchism is the very opposite of all that. Find out for yourself. Tune in to the 4ZZZ Aniki Show on Monday from 12 to 1 p.m.
I think that violence can be even applied to the natural environment because we rely upon the natural environment for our survival. But inanimate objects, especially those that are man-made and are used to destroy life, I don't think you can be violent too. I think it's a lot of times more violent to allow them to exist.
Kropotkin here, a little under the weather.
We just heard a song by Stage Bottles, a favourite, sometimes antisocial, always anti-fascist. And we've got a report about fascism. Anna's fascist report.
Oh, good, but not in person. She couldn't make it.
No, yes. She couldn't make it, but we've got that coming up. Today, yes. A new episode of It's the End of the World, as we know it, and I feel fine. And the themes and news from that show, I think, it's in, well, a few things happening locally.
Oh, it It's all connected, Linda.
And also an interview with Jandy Rainbow, who's a local musician who's also transgender, and I interviewed her about her experiences, which links into the violence against women topic. And we'll be taking White Ribbon Day as well.
Okay.
So, Peter.
Yes. I went to the climate change rally, Linda.
How was that?
Very big. It was spilling over in Queen's Park. There was, you know, a lot of people there. And they marched after about an hour or so of enthusiastic speakers, especially young people. They marched across to South Bank. And by the time the front of the march was at South Bank, it was still leaving the park. So there was, you know, they say 4,000. I think there was more, really, because there was a lot of people there. And, it featured a strong Indigenous contingent. They led the march, actually, the young activists, particularly to do with the Adani coal mine and their struggles to prevent that desecration of sacred ground, and also, of course, contributing to global warming in a very massive way. And also Torres Strait Islander people, of course, were right behind them. And then a whole lot of South Pacific Islander people with a very colourful display of their flags and their banners, and very good chanting, Linda. It was very musical chanting, you know what I mean? Like, we
good
have
chanting, yes, that'll save the world.
Yeah, well, it was, they were expressing their feelings, like, you know, we have a right to live where we live, and you know, and we are not drowning, we are fighting. And it was very, very heartfelt stuff. As it was going through South Bank, some people came out from a restaurant, and I heard them say, "Oh, is it a Reclaim Australia march?" Because you know, some of the South Pacific flags have the Union Jack. Maybe they mistook it, but then they got there and they, "Oh no, it's definitely not Reclaim Australia march." Well, for one thing, because it was very big, it just kept coming and coming. So you know, it was you know, uplifting and positive to be there with all those, you know, people. Yeah, it was worth going to.
Feel good, not necessarily, yes, anti-capitalist.
No, well, they were the young socialists, whatever which brand it was, socialist alternative or something. They had, you know, the chants about social revolution, people's revolutions, and also what was the, a viable planet is possible. Now that's not too much to ask for. Hey, you know, it's a reasonable request, a viable planet. I mean, you know, and they had very colourful flags, Linda. They didn't just the red ones, they had red and green, red and purple. Yes, and just some green flags in that, yes. But
not red and pink, because everyone knows.
Oh, I don't know. It was a lot of colourful flags, and I might have missed one or two. So I was going to say something else, but.
Over in Paris, where the actual meeting of all,
yes,
the people,
talkers,
and there was a ban on protesting, and there is the kind of liberal 350.org march, climate march or whatever, but also there's a more radical element, and I've seen Black Bloc out and about as well, and you know, defying the no protest. Rule. So we're going to hear from the Stimulator soon, and it's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine, but before then we might hear a new one from Morganics, and this is Music Is My Revolution featuring Jelmolski.
Organics in the building.
Jelmolski.
That's right.
Keep the culture alive.
Keep the culture alive.
Cause we gotta survive.
Cause we gotta survive.
Come on.
Because we permanent. Sit down, palm, rhythm, because we physically fit. Ram down, tall, and we bombastic. We write, palm, rhythm, we no talk bullshit. We're only microphone and represent the underground. Yes, Morgan is at that roughneck sound. Yes, Jelmolski, we bring reality. When we make female music, we are thinking to fit.
Music is my revolution, you're not calming down. Yeah. These rhythms are expensive, so you gotta tell me how. How we gonna make before the people think it's free? Artists are important for our souls, so come with me. trying to crop and get it constantly by greedy people trying to keep a hold of their monopoly. Massive dinosaurs trying to hang under the cash cows. Little people get it trampled on, yell it out. Musicals and massacres who dig into your trenches. The journals are corrupt, but never ever mention the fact that the people who need to have your back are the ones that won't give you what you lack. It's cash. I'll make it plain like that. Torrent my track, man, that's fucking whack. We work days, weeks, months, and nights to write these words to bring some insight. It's a struggle to be digging in a musical mine. And if the equipment that you need, it isn't easy to find. We gotta research and find it, buy it, then learn it. Developing a reputation, finally reveal it on stage. John Piker in a street cypher. Bring the people together, we'll make the crowd hyper. We finish the gig and tell the whole damn crowd. We made our own music and we're very proud. But music don't come for free, and you know it. If you got a bit of love for the art, then sure, we wanna share it with you, but you got to take the clue. We played our part, now it's up to you. Music is my revolution, join the army now. These rhythms are expensive, so you gotta tell me how. How we gonna live before the people think it's free? Artists are important for our souls, so come with me. Come with me.
Tell him he run high on it. Wait till next season, go make some dub plates. We are make for the music, make it from the art, make it from the light, we no make it from the dark. Then you put down the music from the TV. Don't get no publishing on the royalty. Them a download the music, we no get no fee. Oh my gosh, we sell a lot of mercy. We got bills to pay on, babies to feed on, feed the lights on, electricity. No more cannings on the one drum and ski. And we sit up on the rhythm, breaking down reality. We want more money, we want we money. One we publishing, one fee with royalty. We can't sell a record in this society. No more vinyl, no more CDs. Oh my gosh, we say Lord have mercy. Say the artists in the dance and they getting crazy. When we lap a lap a lap up on the mic MC. We break by rhythm and move by rhythm and shock out city. Out of the massive in the dance, I'm on the rock up on the way. Road by your town, road by your country. Boy, say we need the money. Make for the music, for humanity, me ball.
Music is my revolution, join the army now. These rhythms are expensive, so you gotta tell me how. How we gonna live before the people think it's free? Artists are important for our souls, so come with me.
We're back. We haven't been away.
We just heard Music Is My Revolution featuring Jamulski by Morganics. It's 12:15. We're in the Anarchy Show for Triple Z, 102.1 FM.
Fear the movement then sings and dance.
So we're putting off playing It's the End of the World as we know it, if you're fine, because Peter went to the Laura Street Festival, which goes with Music Is My Revolution.
Yes, our Laura Street, I think I mentioned it last time, it's just a community festival. They just have lots of gigs in Laura Street, Highgate Hill, like, oh, I don't know how many, 20 or something households had, you know, events and gigs and stuff. And yeah, it was really good. It was well attended. They don't even like close down the traffic. They just have big banners up and everything. I was there briefly earlier in the day, and it was going off. And I went to two gigs actually, Linda. I'll just briefly mention that the Krulpa Poets had John Jiggins doing word bombs down at Musgrave Park at this about 2 o'clock at the same time, and Gerald Keeney in the. Gerald Keeney's played, though I didn't get to see them. John Jiggins dressed up as Guy Fawkes. I think we've mentioned this before. He did it in the early 80s to do with the Drugs Misuse Act, and he tried to enter Parliament, State Parliament, dressed as Guy Fawkes. I think we've mentioned this, with a quotation marks bomb, which was actually a poem. And so he reenacted it there. They had trouble getting the sparkler lit, and people were saying, oh, bloody anarchists, they can't even get the bomb lit. And so, yeah, that was quite quite good to see. I think he did it too also in West End during an election, but yeah. So culture was alive and well there. Poetry, yes. And then I went to the Laura Street Festival, and yeah, it really kicked on, and Turnstile had a good crowd, and our comrades, the anarcho-syndicalists there, had a representation. It was, you know, the whole street, because there was the Greens, and there was some socialists, and there was Papua, West Papua people, and other, and even the Labour Party, what's her name, the local member, Jackie Trad, Deputy Premier, I believe, was there, or at least her picture was. And anyway, but then, of course, the storm came in, and it was very dramatic, Linda, like all the lightning and the wind and the rain, and we were, you know, I was, the people were just scurrying around with their stalls, including the Greens Party. I would have thought they could have seen it coming, but no serious injury was occasioned. And I was heard to say, someone said, oh, it's the end of the world, it's the apocalypse. No, not quite, but it was very evocative of the whole, you know, situation in the world today. And there wasn't a lot of drinking. Well, not on some people's part. There was an alcohol-free zone, I think, a turnstile, so the sign said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were selling cold-pressed coffee in stubbies, though, which was confusing. So, yes.
Awesome.
Like not the end of the world, cold-pressed
coffee. No, but we're going to hear it's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine.
It's the end of the world whenever you wake up because you learn something new about the world and it's different.
Fantastic. A language and content warning.
As we know it, and I feel fine, was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Spanky very much.
What is it about society that disappoints you so much?
Oh, I don't know. Is it that we collectively thought Steve Jobs was a great man, even when we knew he made billions off the backs of children? Or maybe it's that it feels like all our heroes are counterfeit. The world itself's just one big hoax. Spamming each other with our burning commentary of bullshit, masquerading as insight. Our social media faking as intimacy. Or is it that we voted for this? Not with our rigged elections, but with our things, our property, our money. I'm not saying anything new. We all know why we do this. Not because Hunger Games books makes us happy, but because we want to be sedated. Because it's painful not to pretend. Because we're cowards. Fuck society.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine. Where after 2 months of obnoxiously shilling for Tacos Grilla, I'm happy to announce that Submedia has met our motherfucking fundraising goal.
It's raining tacos from out of the sky. Tacos, no need to ask why. Just open your mouth and close your eyes. It's raining tacos.
Anyway, I'm your host, Stimulator, and this week we begin in Manila, where on Thursday, November 19th, leaders from the 21 Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation countries, or APEC, were in town to try and figure out a way to squeeze out even more profits from the region's hyper-exploited sweatshop workers. They were given a warm welcome by a coalition of students, unions, and indigenous peeps who called for an end to parasitic free trade deals and lit up a giant fucking effigy of a vulture, which they constructed as a fitting symbol of Yankee imperialism.
Filipino people are struggling for national independence and democracy in our country, and powerful countries, rich countries like the United States, get their super profit from the backs of the Filipino workers.
On the closing day of the summit, thousands of protesters attempted to storm the building where the meeting was being held, leading to violent clashes with the Filipino Popo.
I make the type of shit they play on every single corner here in Southern California, where they fire Chris Dawn upon and race to pull a ski mask and revolver out a duffel, gas compression on the muzzle case of Mark, wanna struggle.
What do we want? Justice! What do we want? Justice!
Meanwhile, in Minneapolis, peeps have responded to the November 15th police murder of 24-year-old Jamar Clark by several days of mounting protests. Immediately following the shooting, protesters began surrounding the pig precinct of the two porkers responsible for his death, blocking access to the building. Community members are calling for the release of footage from the surveillance cameras showing Clark's death, claiming that he was executed at point-blank range while handcuffed.
I cannot just imagine what he went through before he was shot, dead like a dog.
Unsurprisingly, the cops are not too keen on releasing this footage and have instead preferred to attack the protesters with pepper spray and batons. On November 18th, militants responded to these attacks by vandalizing 12 cruisers and lobbing rocks, bricks, bottles, and Molotov cocktails at police lines, drawing condemnation from protest organizers and city officials, who blamed the usage of such militant tactics on outside anarchists.
Whatever the reason for the attack, it is our duty to eliminate this scourge. It is our Prime Minister's opinion that the anarchist movement is a threat to peace, order, and good government.
The pigs also claimed that the protesters attacked the besieged cops with mace. While that would be fucking sweet if it were true, it looks like the pigs might be confused as to the identity of their attacker. Check the shit out. On Monday, November 23rd, three white supremacists opened fire on protesters assembled outside the precinct, injuring five people. Thankfully, nobody was killed, but this attack shows that racist white vigilantism in the United States is still alive and well. And as black and brown peeps continue to rise up against racist fucking police terror, disgusting attacks like this are likely to intensify. Peeps in the Windy City have also taken to the streets to protest last year's police killing of Laquan McDonald. After dashboard footage was released on Tuesday, November 24th, showing Chicago pig Jason Van Dyke shooting the 17-year-old black youth 16 times as he had turned his back and was walking away. The release of this footage coincided with the one-year anniversary of the Ferguson grand jury decision that cleared Darren Wilson of the murder of Mike Brown, sparking nationwide protests and leading to the blockading of highways and bridges in dozens of cities across the U.S. Politicians and high-ranking pigs are shitting their pants, worried that history might be getting ready to repeat itself.
I spoke to officers privately in one big city precinct who described being surrounded by young people with mobile phones held high, taunting them when they get out of their cars. They said to me, "We feel under siege and we don't feel much like getting out of our cars."
At the time of this writing, protesters in Chi-Town have been joined by peeps in New York City, and organizers have announced plans to swarm Chicago's shopping district to disrupt Black Friday. The depraved annual spectacle where Americans trample one another to death in a crazed frenzy to snag a deal on the latest Xbox. Yep, as millions of white Americans gorge themselves with turkey to celebrate the colonial birth of the United States, black and brown peeps are again rising up to challenge the white supremacist power structure that holds this whole rotten system together. And this latest upsurge is only just the beginning. You can be sure that there's still much more to come.
C'est les nerfs à l'enfer qui prônent un royaume qui ressemble à l'enfer. Prêt à mourir pour défendre la cage qui a tué nos âmes et tout ce qu'elle renferme. Bouleurs d'usine, nous barreaux en fer. Horizon de barrière, là où mur nous encercle. Sombre mise en scène, dire qu'ils pensèrent effacer l'ensemble de la sagesse ancienne. Aujourd'hui sort père, civilisation de vice et de panser. Vente d'indignation venue de la planète entière. Fils de l'aberration que les siècles étranglèrent. Brise tes chaînes, toi, gardien de ton frère. Incarne dignement ce que le ciel t'a offert. En plein chamboulement électrique, atmosphère Babylone s'écroule quand on agit par nous-mêmes. Alors brise tes chaînes. Hello, j'en pressais la tête dans l'assiette. Une vie entière retardée par la fenêtre. À rêver en silence une autre vie d'un autre soi. Alors l'oubli de soi fera l'affaire. Mais dans l'esprit tous les soirs sera de la fête. L'angoisse et les cris étouffés par le paraître. Des nœuds dans la tête, les poignets liés. Héritier du mal-être. Brise tes chaînes.
Peeps in Europe have been on serious fucking edge since the attacks in Paris, with the media reporting that additional ISIS fighters are still at large and may be planning fresh attacks across the region. Amidst this atmosphere of generalized anxiety, French politicians have moved quickly to reassure the world that the COP21 climate negotiations, set to take place in Paris from November 30th to December 11th, will go ahead as planned. The COP21 climate conference has been billed as a truly historic event, where the head honchos of over 120 countries are set to get together and finally hammer out a permanent binding agreement on which shade of green to paint the global capitalist economy with.
Our first step towards a green future is our new green Coca-Cola can. We have invested millions into changing the color of our classic Coke can to green so you can feel better about yourself.
But despite Western governments' tough talk about not giving in to freedom-hating terrorists, on November 16th, France's socialist President Hollande announced that he'd be using his special state of emergency powers to cancel all public demonstrations set to take place during the COP21 conference, including the massive People's Climate March, scheduled for November 29th. In a unified cry, the coalition of corporate NGOs organizing the march conceded to the French government, agreeing that the threat of further terrorist attacks justified canceling their pacifist parade.
And we have run out of time. We cannot afford any more of them. We can't afford any more small, incremental changes around the edges, the kind of easy fixes that politicians can make without offending anybody. The time has come to start offending.
Despite all the bullshit rhetoric of this being the last chance to save humanity, blah, 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 apparently not many people are willing to risk their lives to attend a useless symbolic march. And really, who the fuck can blame them? Brushing aside ethical concerns about the chilling precedent that their decision will have on future protests, 350.org spokespeople have cheerfully reminded peeps that the Paris March was only one of thousands of global actions, making the People's Climate March, or
Circle Jerk 2015.
Yep, as they say in the biz, the show must go on. And since peeps in Paris have been banned from publicly wanking their way to a shiny new bright green economy, it's time for the rest of the world to roll up their sleeves and give them the biggest Dutch rudder the planet has ever seen.
Hey, Stan, what the fuck's a Dutch rudder?
Look it up.
Dutch rudder. A sexual act that straddles the line between a hand job and masturbation.
Anyway, a couple of weeks before all this latest shit went down, I caught up with investigative journalist Dar Jamal to get his take on the COP21 spectacle and the current state of the global climate justice movement. Hey Dar, how the fuck are you?
I'm good. It's really good to be here.
So, you became well known for your independent Iraq war coverage. Why the fuck did you start covering climate change?
It's clearly the single biggest story today and will be for the rest of our lives and for everyone on the planet. I mean, there's no question about it. And we're looking at the fact that we are already well into abrupt climate change, and it's changing the planet and everyone's lives on it forever. So it was a no-brainer as a journalist that as important as the story in Iraq was to move over and start covering this story several years ago. And so that's what I did.
So break it down for us, Dar. How fucked are we?
Most recent evidence I would cite would be a report just came out around the time we're doing this interview that shows that if we burn all currently known fossil fuel reserves on the planet, we will literally melt all the ice on the planet, which would raise global sea levels over 200 feet. So say goodbye to all coastal cities. Now, that would obviously take a long time and not be something that we would see in our lifetime, but we're already seeing, even without doing that, just what we've burned already. The most recent James Hansen report shows that by 2050, even that short of a time, we could already see 10 feet of sea level rise. My point is that we are already so far along in abrupt climate change that it's just a known fact that there's no way we're going to stop the so-called politically agreed upon limit of 2 degrees C warming globally. We're going to blow right past that. In fact, the UN's climate chief already just yesterday in Brussels said we're already going to blow right past it. And of course, all of this coupled with the global governments not doing anything other than carrying on with business as usual and giving lip service to climate disruption and what would really need to happen to sort of mitigate it. We're not going to stop it, but maybe mitigate it. That's just a pipe dream. That's just never going to happen. And so we're looking at, you know, massive species extinction. And in fact, another recent report showed that just since 1970, half of all life in the oceans has been wiped out. So just since 1970s, we're talking in less than five decades, we've managed to wipe out all life in the oceans. So that's just one example. I could go on for hours about just really stark warning signs that are already upon us.
Peeps have been mobilizing around the COP meeting since they began 21 years ago. How feasible is it that these mobilizations yield any meaningful policy results that will actually curb climate change?
Well, the famous adage of what is insanity, one definition is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. So yeah, this is COP21. That means we've had 20 other conferences of this ilk. We've had protests at every one of them. In each one, we've seen the protests get succeedingly larger. And to what avail? If we've already done something 20 times and it's had zero effect on policy, Is doing it the 21st time likely to affect change? I would just leave that as an open-ended question.
In Naomi Klein's book, This Changes Everything, she proposes nationalizing Canada's oil industry as a strategy for controlling carbon emissions. Can you talk about some of the strategies Klein speaks about in her book, and how realistic are they?
It seems like a lot of those strategies, particularly using the one you just mentioned as an example, are more reform-based. And I think that there's something happened between the idea of completely doing away with capitalism across the globe and the impacts that would have on stopping carbon from being emitted into the atmosphere. And then going from that position into something like, let's nationalize a country's oil as a solution. And of course, along the way, overlook the impacts of that on the native populations of that country, let alone having their voice in the mix of what they think the solution might be. So I think that there's some, you know, some issues there that would need to be addressed that aren't exactly being fully addressed in that idea. But I think the reality is that our situation is so dire and we are so far along in climate disruption and abrupt climate disruption on the planet that any idea that we have enough time to do something like do reform within the system or make policy changes or nationalize a country's oil, I think it's kind of an infantilization of the broader population, of giving people an idea that there is still hope and there is still time. And I just simply don't think it's a really clear, fair assessment of how dire the crisis is that we're already in and how much more dramatic measures really need to be taken at this point.
And finally, what movements that are fighting climate change inspire you?
What the Unist'ot'en are doing up in Canada and other Native peoples are doing to stand up against pipelines being built. We're seeing some of that in the U.S. with some of the Native populations here as well. I think that really is the vanguard. I think what those people are doing, taking matters into their own hands, using the law in their own favor to say, look, this is our land. We technically are in charge of it, and we have the final say, and we're going to act accordingly. And so if that means taking up arms, if that means blockades, if that means, you know, whatever that means, whatever measures are necessary to stop pipelines from being built, from emissions from being emitted in those areas, and other types of industrial projects and machinations by the oil and gas industries in those areas, those are the folks that thus far, some of the only people I've seen that are actually taking matters that personally and taking that much responsibility and putting their lives on the line and their bodies on the line to stop it. I think that's ultimately what has to happen on a very, very broad scale.
Thanks, Dar. And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine.
You can actually hear more of that interview if you go to submedia.tv. My name's Linda. You're on the Anarchy Show on 4ZZZ 102.1 FM. You're going to hear a new song now from Jaziri X, and it's called Peaceful Fight, and it features Claire Mortafree. Then we're going to have our fascist report.
May I say something to you to give you a true knowledge of yourself and life so that the same glory and success attained by other men who understand themselves may be yours? Man in the full knowledge of himself is a superb and supreme creature of creation. When man becomes possessor of the knowledge of himself, he becomes master of his environment, the captain of his own ship, the director of his own destiny.
Allah for me in morning, mama bore me for glory. You are cordially invited to the story of my life. I write it, not take a license, violent and far from righteous. The only bias was Lynn, the only science was sin. The environment I was in, life from the pilot was dim. If sleep's the cousin of death, I bet that silence is kin. To all of them I'm a vet, it's like I'm riding with friends. So when I arrive at the end, it's like I'm dying again. The hood's like an island, we try and survive within. The eye of Leviathan, we get killed a life in the pen. Dear God, I'm writing to him, guess what I'm writing to him. When the angel of light descends, I'm praying your likeness wins. But every night I pray a fight begins. A knife slice your chin, the reaper strikes again. Blood leaking right from skin, as deep as I can swim. Gon' save Christ's kin when the preacher is the djinn, amen.
Welcome to the story of our lives. This is a hymn for the peaceful fight. Fight, gotta become brighter, wiser than we've been before.
I was wondering where my father at age 19, heard he died of a heart attack. I felt no remorse, wouldn't spit on this cold corpse. A child with no support, I was forced to come off that porch and play life like a grown man sport. The court system on my bail steady, prison has my cell ready. Morticians predicted they hit him with them shells heavy. Where's religion if we living in hell? Did every leader, every teacher, every believer fail? The government is tapping my phones and reading my mail while hustlers are weighing dope on a premium scale. When God took me off the cross, told him leaving the nails. The true meaning is the meaning I've been meaning to tell. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. Life starts with one breath. I was resurrected with one X, Jasiri.
Welcome to the story of our lives. This is a hymn for the peaceful fight.
The most modern charity shop in Brisbane opens its doors Thursday, December 3rd. Don't miss out on the grand opening day. There'll be heaps of giveaways and you could also win a trip to Malaysia and Vietnam. Call Kay on 1-800-1-WORLD. That's 1-800-1-WORLD. One World also need volunteers, so be part of the most modern charity store. Visit One World, 71 Grand Plaza Drive, Browns Plains. More info at oneworld.org. That's 1-world.org. Sponsors of 4ZZZ.
That was Black Magic Superstar by Tijuana Cartel. I've got Anna's anti-far wrap-up now. If it looks like a duck, acts like a duck, and quacks like a duck, it's a fucking duck. Reclaim Australia, look like a neo-Nazi group, act like a neo-Nazi group, sound like a neo-Nazis, and attract neo-Nazis, racist boneheads, and other white supremacists to their rally. So from now on, I will call them a neo-Nazi group. Since last Sunday's neo-Nazi Reclaim Australia rally in Brisbane that was attended by white Aryan resistance boneheads, Australia First neo-Nazis, Patriots Defence League fascists, and other hate groups, including Hitler, there's been a bit of activity happening online, mostly threats of violence, attempt at intimidation, and general delusion from all far-right corners that any of the Reclaim Australia marches were anything but a massive, humiliating failure. Dipshit haters have been flocking to the myriad of fake online group accounts of the United Patriots Fronts, etc., asking when UPF can be formed in Brisbane and what can be done to stop commie scum like us. I was personally attacked by Reclaim Australia for being a welfare leech, for being a disabled woman who is a full-time carer for her disabled girlfriend, and accused of being using a disabled person to get welfare to fund my political activism. This Sunday just gone, the UPF in Melbourne held a rally that they announced only 48 hours earlier to be held on the steps of Melbourne's State Parliament in response to Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews calling UPF mindless bigots. As is par for the course, the UPF, approximately 40, were prevented from holding their rally by a couple of hundred Antifa, and once again the UPF, like every other far-right group in Australia, were escorted safely away by police. As with all good defeats, Blair Cottrell claimed a victory and that this failed rally wasn't actually a failure, but a social experiment of the kind that only his deluded, steroid-addled brain could comprehend. A bunch of other far-right groups congratulated the UPF, blah blah blah. And in news, the Fascist Party for Freedom have organised a 10-year anniversary rally to commemorate the Cronulla riots. Why the fuck you'd want to is anyone's guess. But Reclaim Australia, the neo-Nazi umbrella group for every far-right group in Australia, are getting behind it, as well as others like Australia First and UPF. And it's set to be held on December the 12th. Also on December 12th, it's been announced that the Hammerskin Nation will descend upon the Gold Coast for a holiday and a family get-together. Hammerskins are a very well-organized group of neo-Nazi boneheads that are set up very similar to an outlaw motorcycle gang. What's the bet that December 12 is to coincide with Cronulla and the Goldie because of the opposition in Currumbin to the proposed building of a mosque? Anyway, that's Anna's Antifa wrap up.
Yeah, we could guess to also call them ultranationalists because, you know, that's what they are. That guy, their spokesperson who was claiming a victory at that march, I saw some coverage of him, and he was articulate. I think someone was saying that he's considered relatively articulate. Yeah, but he wasn't making a lot of sense with his words because he was contradicting himself. He was saying his group was being terrorized and stalked by the opposition, and yet in the same breath he was saying, oh, we're glad to see him here and we applauded them because, you know, we want to oppose them and everything. So I think they've got a lot of internal contradictions.
I'm going to hear a song by Ska Preta, and this is called Nazi Scum, and then we'll be hearing the interview with Jandy Rainbow about her experiences as a transgender child. This one is about
we'll be right back.
That was Ska Preta and Nazi Scum. It's 10 minutes to 1 o'clock. Got an interview now that I did for a documentary series which is starting to air on Z Digital for the 40th anniversary of 4ZZZ. And the interview is with local musician Jandy Rainbow, who's been involved with 4ZZZ over the years. And I started off this interview by asking her where she lived when she was younger. And we're playing this because anarchists believe in equality for everyone, which doesn't mean that free speech for everyone, because obviously we don't believe in free speech for Nazis. You can have free speech, but not if you're going to be hurting someone else. Absolute freedom, absolute responsibility.
In South Australia, probably in the, to start it off in maybe some of the rougher areas of it.
How do you think your experience of that place differed from the experience of other children in your era?
Well, I grew up in the 60s, and so that was my, my childhood is really the 60s and 70s. And it was pretty rough. It was obvious at a very young age that I was not like everyone else. Not just in my physical expression, but also too, I had also a disability as a child. I'd had polio from the immunisations, the early ones, which there was probably about a dozen people in total in Australia that happened to. So that compounded the two things. And one thing I would have to say is it was very hard to tell which was actually harder, dealing with a journey of polio, which was very difficult, and what I actually had to confront being a transgender child, occasionally coming out during that process. It was very violent, to be honest, and progressively got more violent. When you're really young, people will accept a little bit of femininity in a child who was meant to be in a boy's role. And as each year that you get older, those sweet, sort of endearing little qualities start to really become like thorns around you, and almost like couch grass growing to hold you down into a binary function. And the first thing that I ever experienced that created trauma was they had a puppet show, which was on sort of slugs and snails and puppy dogs' tails. I would have been probably around 7. That was when it really hit me that I was different, that I was not like this old saying in those times, you know, boys were made of slugs and snails and puppy dogs' tails, and girls were sugar and spice and all things nice. That was the first time I think I went from having this natural euphoria about being feminine. It never really bothered me until then. I hadn't been taught to be frightened of it till about that age. There had been little niggles, but I'd had developmental delays as a child from polio, so it was kind of easy just to dismiss them. But when they had that play, it really hit me that this was a message for me, because I was not one or the other, and I knew that even then.
Were you bullied growing up?
Very much so from my brother. My sister was wonderful, and my mother was fantastic. Our father wasn't in the picture, so that was probably a blessing, although it was, you know, not the most ideal, but it would have been a blessing. It's kind of funny. Sometimes when I was more bold at school and more daring, I almost got bashed less. I remember one time when we went to school in a new school, and some, you know, issues had popped up, and my sister had given me this cardigan, and so this whole week, which was like from the 50s with beads on it, and I started wearing that to school for about six, or for the whole of winter and a little bit of spring and autumn. And I certainly copped a lot of wallops then, to the extent that it made me stop doing it. And then my mother and I negotiated a deal that if I just dressed like a girl in the home, then that would be okay, and I would be able to wear more of what I wanted. So that's how my family dealt with it. But I had already sort of pretty much exposed myself as a big sissy at school. It was incredibly violent, but it was also hard to tell whether I was being beaten up for being a sissy or for a disability. As the years progressed, it was more because of me being feminine that I got beaten, and quite savagely sometimes.
Listening to Travellers by Jandy Rambo, following on from the interview, which you'll be hearing more of in coming weeks. Time for me to get out of here now. I've just got some community notices. The Australian Cultural Library is having its final benefit for 2015 on December 5 at 456 Ruthven Street, Toowoomba, and there's poetry by Stephen Pato and Chris Lynch, as well as open mic and music by Steve Denham, Stuart Sloan, and the Kulkala Station Band. And it's $10 entry. All money goes towards rent for the Australian Cultural Library. And then tomorrow in King George Square at 5 o'clock is a flag raising for West Papuan Independence Day. West Papuan people are severely brutalised by Papua, by Indonesia, in Papua New Guinea. So that's all the community notices for now. Get active in your community and stay around for the Slobber Geek Alien Show. Thanks for listening. It's just about 12 o'clock.